Sorry ahead of time for any format issues. I'm posting this on a cell phone. So for context, I'm a 22-year-old male, and I live in a large city in the Midwest. Now, I drive Lyft while putting myself through trade school. I drive for other similar companies, but that's besides the point. I have many horror stories from all those as well, but I'll tell those another time. It was Christmas Eve 2020. I was out running Lyft for a few hours before heading to my mum's with my new baby and wife. Nothing special going on for the night, just the usual. I get a ride request. It was a pickup from this kind of lower income apartment complex. No big deal. I arrive and I find my passenger. He has all his belongings, several boxes and stuff. Now, my car is a 2006 Chevy Impala, so it's not too big. We get all his stuff loaded up, barely, and on our way. During the ride, he's crying, saying that his girlfriend was cheating on him, and he had walked in on them earlier that night. He couldn't stay there because it was her name on the lease. So I was taking him to a hotel. Now, in my city, we have a street that is known for having vices. Hookers, drugs, gangs, weapons, and shady motels. The works. We get to the motel, and he asks me to wait for him to check in and get his key. No problem, man, I say. I'll confess, I break the rules a little when it comes to Lyft. I have a gun hidden in a concealed holster secured to the underside of my driver's seat for protection. Reason being, driving Lyft and other contract apps, I've had knives and guns pulled on me, as well as people who've tried to fire me, rob me, and all kinds of other things. But like I said, another time. This motel was on a street I mentioned before. Homeless people were everywhere. There was a dude on the far corner of the complex that still had a needle in his arm, passed out against a building. I'm a big fan of true crime and horror narration, so I'm on edge. He gets his key. The whole motel is ground level, so to help the guy out, I drive to his door. As I mentioned before, he has a lot of stuff, so I started helping unload his stuff. While on my second trip of getting stuff, I saw a guy come out of a room just to the south of my car, followed by two ladies. They came up to the room I was next to, not my passenger. One of the ladies pounded on the door, then opened it. That's when I saw a guy raise a shotgun up out of his long coat and storm into the room. The two ladies followed him, slamming the door behind them. Following, I heard a lot of yelling and shouting. I was just waiting for shots to ring out. Out of nowhere, my passenger came up behind me. I can take this, man. Go ahead and take off. Have a Merry Christmas. And he gave me a cash tip. I didn't even notice he took boxes out of my hands or slid a $5 bill into my pocket. I knew what may have been going on down in that room. I had to leave, or at least get to where I could get my gun. I know the guy and the lady saw me, and I know they knew I saw the gun. I had to get out of there. You know, no witnesses. I got in my car and sped away quickly. I got a block or so away and called the cops. I handed them every detail. After I got off the phone with the police, I signed out a Lyft. I hadn't made much money, but I was done. I got a call later that night. The cops investigated. They never found the gunman or the woman. They never answered the door I saw them come out of. And the occupants of the room they went into said nothing happened, and that I was full of shit. Well, I know what I saw. So, back in November 2020, I was in and out of hospital with testicular torsion 8 times altogether, because why permanently fix a medical issue when you can temporarily fix it, I guess? And on my last time at one of the hospitals, I called a taxi to go home, but it would take about 30 to 40 minutes to get to me because it was a Saturday in the city. Since there was going to be a bit of a wait, I decided to sit down in a garden slash bench area in front of the hospital. It was 3 a.m, about 0 degrees Celsius, and I had been awake for 36 hours at that point. My taxi was on its way, and I just sat cross-legged on the bench, headphones on, and nicotine keeping me alive. Everything was fine until after 10 minutes. I noticed a guy very clearly walking directly towards me. He was stumbling a bit, so I assumed he was drunk, and he got level with me. He stopped right in front of me and said something that I didn't hear. I looked up and said, "What? Sorry, I had music on." As I pulled them off, he looked at me dead in the eye and just said, "I could effing batter you right now." Of everything I was expecting him to say, that wasn't on the list. So, caught off guard, I tried disarming him with humour by saying, "I don't doubt it," which did work, thank God, because he would have absolutely pulled me into the ground. And every time I said something similar, he'd just say, "I could batter you. I want to deck you right here, right now. And I could take you in a fight," just to recall a few of them. After his anger had toned down, he sat on the bench next to me and started generally drunk rambling about his family and his friends, and very specifically, his best friend's girlfriend that he was having an affair with. Then he pointed out my shoes, saying, "Those are nice, mate. Can I have them?" Obviously, I said no firmly, but not aggressively. Then said thanks and told him about the fact that I've got them on the sale. He said, "Can I touch them?" Which was immediately a big red flag. I politely declined, and he started rubbing my shoe anyway. I was still sitting cross-legged on the bench. Then, in one swift movement, he grabbed my ankle, pulled my entire leg up to his face, and put the entire toe of my size 11 Converses in his mouth. At which point, while sitting in stunned silence, I started desperately looking around, and I could see the hospital police walking over. The officer asked if we were here together. He said yes, I said no. The officer then asked if he was a patient. I said yes, he said no. I told the officer I was just waiting for my taxi, and the guy rambled something I couldn't really make out to the officer, who suggested he move along. The guy stood up, gave me a handshake, and walked off into the night. The officer obviously asked if I was okay, and I told him what happened. He was just as confused as I was. After that, my taxi was due in 5 minutes, so I went and stood on the opposite side of the hospital to where the taxi rank was. I asked some friends, who are familiar with a lot of drugs, and what he could have been on, and they all unanimously said meth, and the shoe thing was probably just a fetish. Random shoe butter outside the hospital. Let's never meet again. This took place around the corner from my house when I was about 7 to 10 years old. There was a food place around the corner, and I'd run around to get their milkshakes every now and then. One day, my parents left to go out somewhere, just as the sun was about to set. I called my mum to tell her I'd be leaving around the corner, and she said it was fine. The previous day, I'd gotten a deep bruise on my arm from school, and I was wearing a t-shirt that day, as it was just turning summer. I didn't know how to tie shoelaces back then, so I just thought I'd leave them untied for the moment. I was walking around the corner when a tall, tired-looking man in his 40s to late 50s came up to me and asked to tie my laces. I assumed that he was Indian from what I could tell at the time. He spoke with an accent, and I think maybe English wasn't his first language. I thought it was strange, but I let him, not knowing any better. After he was finished, he stared at me for a moment. He looked at the bruise on my arm, grabbed my arm, and examined it. "Oh no, you need a bandage. Come with me and we'll find your parents." Hearing this and becoming uncomfortable, my shy young self mumbled, "It's fine." He pulled out his phone and brought up pictures of his son while still grabbing onto me. I was becoming increasingly freaked out, especially because I was very introverted when I was young. "This is my son. You can trust me," he said. At that point, I knew something didn't feel right. I had a feeling that I had to leave as soon as possible. He was standing in the direction of my house, blocking the way, so running home wasn't an option. I also was smart enough not to show him where I lived. A few people were walking past, without intervening. My parents never taught me strange danger, so all I could do was hope someone intervened. A family walked by, going into the house from behind where the man was holding me by my arm. What makes me angry to this day is that no one intervened. Not even the family walking behind me. I kept repeating, "It's fine, really it's fine," over and over, but no one spoke up. My heart was beating fast and I didn't know what to do. I pulled my arm away and started walking to the food place as it was my only option. I didn't look behind me, I just kept walking. When I got to the food place, which took about 5 minutes, I ordered my milkshake and waited for it to be made. I was almost in tears, barely holding it together. The man had followed me all the way to the small food place. He was standing at the open entrance, staring at me. I really felt like I was about to be kidnapped. My heart was racing, I was sweating, and I was in shock. I did my best to hide my trembling voice when giving the cashier a thank you, and reluctantly took my milkshake. "Hey, OP," a voice behind me said. I turned around to see my neighbour. She was a woman in her 60s, and was very nice from our select few interactions. I didn't know her that well, but my parents did. She whispered to me, "Is that man following you? Do you want me to walk you home?" Looking back now, she quite possibly saved me from being kidnapped, even saved my life. The man was scared off at that point and walked away. My neighbour walked me home and asked me a few questions. I answered slowly, trying to gather my thoughts and catch my breath. When we were nearly at my house, my neighbour asked if she should come in with me to tell my parents. I said no, as I was in shock, and I especially didn't want my parents to find out, fearing they would get really mad at me. My parents were home at that point and greeted me as I came inside. I said hello quietly and rushed to my room. I sat on my bed and recounted what happened over and over. Would the neighbour tell my parents anyway? I hesitated for a while, then went up to my mum's room while she was watching TV. I asked if I could tell her something and she turned off the TV. I was halfway through explaining what happened when I broke down in tears. She got very mad and I immediately thought telling her was a bad idea. She rushed me downstairs to where my dad and three of my brothers were watching a movie together. My mum explained what happened and everyone got really mad. My dad was shouting at me, frantically asking questions. After answering, I went to my room and sobbed in my bed before falling asleep. I found out later that my parents went to the police station. My parents explained later that they weren't mad at me, they were mad at my attempted kidnapper. The situation could have been handled a lot better by everyone looking back. I had to describe to my dad what he looked like, and I went to the police station to give a statement the next day. My neighbour also made a statement. My mum had a therapist come to the house for a day to find out if I'd suffered anything that could cause trauma. Luckily I didn't, but I was afraid to leave my house alone for months. I will always remember that day. They never called the guy. Maybe he was worried that a 7 to 10 year old was walking without parents and wasn't causing any harm. Looking back, my opinions have changed. I'd like to hear what you all think. I've been living in Prague for about a year. I taught third grade at a bilingual school during the day and worked door security for a tourist bar at night. Weekends I would get off work around 3 or 4 depending on how busy it was, at which point I would take the tram from the city centre to the JZP where my apartment was located. At the time I was 22 years old and had short black hair with round glasses, and this is important. One night, I stood at the back of the tram with headphones in, despite my phone being dead. They were like a security blanket to prevent me from socialising with drunk English speakers that populated the city centre at that time of night. This group of seven guys looking to be between 25 to 30 get on being loud and drunk. I'm okay with accents, and these guys were definitely British, probably there for a stag do. I ignore them until I hear this conversation. I'd F that Harry Potter looking girl. Like she'd F you, mate. Like, I'd give her a choice, and then raucous laughter and high-fiving all over this little joke. How can you tell that's a girl? One way to find out, isn't there? And then more laughter. I keep staring at my Kindle and acting like I couldn't hear them and I didn't speak English, but internally, I was screaming in panic. My stop was only two away, and I figured I'd want to be as close to my flat as possible when I got off. So I sit there, ignoring and leering until the tram gets to my stop. I get off. I've got three blocks up and half a block over to get to my flat. They get off. That's fine, I live two blocks away from a very popular club and quite a few bars and hotels in the area. I rationalise to myself, they're not following me. I had a test, a stupid thing I did to see if people were walking behind me or were following me, and I crossed at weird places in the street, and they crossed too. I pick up my pace to be walking fast but not running. Their pace picks up and laughter emanates from the group behind me. I refuse to look back. I make the three blocks of them steadily closing the gap to me. I turn left and bolt, running as fast as I can, keychain with rock in my palm and building key between my thumb and pointer knuckle. I slam the door, and even though it locks automatically and doesn't have a turntable handle, I throw the deadbolt and continue running to my flat, where I also turn the deadbolt. I get to my room, which faces the street, and I curl up in the corner shaking, as through my window I can hear, "Where'd that bitch go?" Along with other things I'm not going to post. About 50 minutes later, I hear them go away. So yeah, you group of British boys, I won't even call you men, let's not meet. Edit. Thank you for the responses. Unfortunately, this isn't my only unfortunate story of this nature. I appreciate all the people standing by me. Hello everyone, this is the end of this week's episode. As you know by now, this is the part where I just ramble, so there's no more stories at this point. I haven't really been able to record recently. I've had a lot of stuff to do, but it's really nice to actually get to this point so I can actually talk to you guys normally. Like, this has actually become a regular thing, and I think a lot of you actually like listening to it. So, no more stories from this point. I'm going to give you guys some updates on my life, basically. So, recently, I'm going to try and word it well. I've always been I don't know if highly strung is the right word. I don't know. I'm very anxious about things. I always worry about things and overstress things, but I always thought it was normal. I remember when I was younger, even to this day, if I went to play a football match, and I've played football for a decent level, and I want to play football again at a decent level, but I got injured, but I would always be so anxious before I played games, and people would always go, oh yeah, nerves are normal, but it always annoyed me because I was thinking to myself, how anxious I feel isn't normal. I'd get really flustered, and my face and head would be hot and everything, and get headaches, and it'd drain me for the day. And it's you sort of beaten before you've even started. And it's not just football, it's normal situations. If I was meeting a girlfriend's family and stuff, to the point where it's almost I need to avoid that situation. But I never thought anything of it. I thought I was just a bit of an anxious person until recently. I've started my uni course, and I had to do a presentation. I've never liked presentations, never. But I've had to do a few online this year, and I've got through mostly got through them pretty well. You don't like doing it, but you get through it. But I had to, the last couple I've had to do, I'd have it where for no reason, a switch, it's my heart starts beating really fast. I can't concentrate. It's I want to just leave. And it's this has happened to me in interviews too. And I was thinking maybe I'm just really nervous. But when it happened recently, and I couldn't actually think of what I needed to say or get out what I needed to say, and it's I was really shaking. It's why is this happening? I'm not nervous to talk in front of these people. I'm not nervous for what I'm talking about. I'm not nervous to talk to any of these people. I was why is this happening? And I looked it up online. From what I've seen, it's an anxiety attack, which I didn't even know. I knew they were a thing, but I didn't know what it consisted of. And that's how I think this is what I've been having over the years and not actually knowing about it, what it is. So I've gone to my GP and I've some therapy thing, because I really want to get it sorted out. I don't want this to affect my life, because it's to the point where it's I wouldn't want to join sports teams I want to join. I wouldn't want to do certain things or put myself in certain situations because of it. And I want to do things like these presentations, because I've done them this year and I've got through them, but I've only realised recently this is what's been happening to me, if you know what I mean. It's not something I actually I even considered would be something I would have a problem with, but it's got to the point where it is a problem with me now. So I'm really trying to sort of get it sorted, really. I don't know. It's really weird, because normal social situations, I'm okay with. I can deal with it. I'm not completely anxious all the time. I can't go to the shop sort of thing, or meet people and my friends and that. It's not that. It's the fact that even if I have to go and meet, say if I was meeting my girlfriend's friends or something, I would be, normally that's an uncomfortable situation for most people, but for me it's I dread it, absolutely dread it. It's like constant anxiety, and it builds up in my head, and I get OCD and stuff, and it's just, it's really, I don't know, it's really annoying. It's really, really annoying. I've only realised recently that it's not normal at 24, so I'm trying to get it fixed. I really want to get it fixed. I don't want to be constantly anxious about things, and I always worry about the future. I constantly worry about things, the irrational things, and it's really, really annoying. And it's only now that I'm actually getting help for it. I've spoke to the therapy people about a week ago, and they're gonna give me some sort of provisional diagnosis and give it to my GP. Honestly, my GP is absolutely useless. That's the thing that doesn't help either. My GP is notorious for being crap. I want to move, but it's so difficult where I live to move GPs. They just an example, like they've misdiagnosed things, like they've missed cancers, and it's like, but like just not through like lack of not knowledge, just through it's like neglect. Like they won't send you for a scan. It's like they'll do anything. They've told my brother, who YouTube channel you guys might know, like this is like a few years ago, thinking like a chest infection or something like that, and they told him to have fucking chicken soup. So what are you on about? I've been there before, and they've Googled my symptoms. They've Googled it and gone, oh, this is what you've got. It's like, you've just gone on fucking Google. This is what I did before I come in. Honestly, it winds me up, but I've got no hope of my GP at the minute, but I'm going to keep pestering. I'm going to go back to them because I need to get it sorted. I said to them even recently, like when I said, like, is there any sort of like medication I can be on temporarily just so I can get through the things I need to get through, because I've got a lot of stuff coming up. And there was like, well, we don't like giving medication to young people. It's like, how does age have any difference? How does it make a difference? If it's affecting me, it's affecting me. Age shouldn't come into it. I even said to them, I don't want to be on medication. It's something I think would help me. And didn't even offer therapy or anything. I've had to self-refer, and it's a nightmare. They're an absolute nightmare. But I'm getting somewhere now. It was frustrating at first, but I'm sort of getting somewhere now. I don't want you guys to think I'm like some bag of nerves walking around everywhere, because that's not the case. It's normal things I don't have this with. It's not like it's going to ruin my life, but it's going to stop me from doing things. Certain situations I want to be in and want to deal with, I can't deal with how I need to, if you know what I mean. So I need it sorted. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. But I also want to say, like, if any of you guys are like struggling with it, then it's always best to go get it looked at. Like, I was always the sort of person, I always thought, nah, I don't need any help with it. But like, now it's gotten to the point where it's like, I should have dealt with this years ago. This is something that... Sorry, I just had to go quickly, but I'm back. This is something that I should have dealt with absolutely years ago. And I should have known the signs. Like, I'm very... Like, I'm quite introspective, I think. Like, I'm not the sort of person that... I'm not a very shallow person. I do think a lot. I really think into things. I don't know. I overthink things, if anything. And it's like, I should have known this is what I have. I'm a bit annoyed at myself in some ways. I've let this go on for so long and affect me in so many different ways in my life. It's like, I think I've just built up like safety sort of mechanisms to like get through things. I mean, I'll find out when I do the therapy stuff, won't I, really? But I think that's probably what's been happening. I don't know. It's just so annoying. And I wish I talked about it earlier, but I suppose at least I'm doing it now, which is the main thing. I just want this to be something that I can move past and deal with. Because, I mean, I've dealt with these things before, but the mental toll it takes on me to get through it, it just wipes me out for the day. And it shouldn't be the case with like these silly little things. So that's the plan. In my head, I'm just telling myself, I've dealt with it before. I can get through it now. I can do it again. So, and in a better way with the therapy. So that's what I'm planning on anyway. Anyone a lighter mood? I was got a bit dark, didn't it? But what else has been going on? I've said this loads of times, right? I've not got a load of money, but I like investing in things. Like, if I've got like a bit of money, I like putting it into something that I think might go up in value, because I don't do much. Like, all the things I enjoy, like, I like playing football, I like going to the gym, I like jogging. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't cost a lot of money to do these things. It's not an expensive hobby that I've got. But I like collecting things too. Like, I've got like some dinosaur fossils, which I sometimes invest in. But I've got, I bought some Pokemon stuff. I know what you're probably thinking, oh, here we go. But if you guys know about Pokemon, tell me what you guys think. I got a jungle booster pack with, I don't know the name of it. It's like a little, I don't know, it's got like wiggly something, wiggly tough or something weird like that it's called. It's on the front of it. And it was quite heavy. Like, it was a heavier pack. Obviously, it's got the holographic inside, hopefully. That's what I'm thinking, but I'm not going to open it. I also bought a 2016... XY Charizard. Is PSA 8. So if you guys know that, like, if that's a decent like thing to invest in, so it's not like I've spent a fortune, but like, I just want to keep it sitting there, you know, just to see if it builds value. Because it's not like I've bankrupted myself, do you know what I mean? But I thought it might be a good thing just to have for now, just to, you know, invest in.
I don't know. I'm interested in a lot of the other things. So if any of you guys know that any of the Pokemon things that you should invest in, that I'm not saying I want to make like quick turnover on money. If I keep it for 10 years, will it go up in value? I'm thinking more of like the Shadowless Pikachu stuff and all that. But anyway, a lot of you probably think, what are you going on about? Shut up. But yeah. Also, do you know what annoys me? When people like proper talk down to people, like when they invest in things, say if it's Pokemon, they go, or anything, they'll go, oh yeah, but if you're just doing it for the money, you don't do it because you love it. It's like, so? I'm not passionate about Pokemon. It's like collecting things. I'll buy them and frisbee the cunts at the wall if that's what I want to do. If that's what I enjoy doing, I'll do it. I don't know, it winds me up. People are proper entitled, like, oh, you've got to have a deep passion for the old Wigglytuff. It's like, and I don't though, do I? But I still want it. Just because I want it doesn't make it any less than them wanting it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't get across my points at the minute. Like, their reasons are not more valid than anyone else's reason just because that's what they like. Do you know what I mean? If someone bought a Lionel Messi signed shirt and they don't like football, but I love football and I love watching Barcelona, it doesn't make it any less valid that they want it more than, like, less than I do just because I enjoy it, like, enjoy watching Messi more. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make it any, like, less valid. I don't know if that's a good way of putting it. But, yeah. What else has been going on? There's two birds outside my window, right? I've been watching them as I've been talking. I don't know what they're doing, but I think they might be shagging. I don't know how birds do it, but I don't know what they're doing. They're doing something weird, and it's like they're following each other around. Well, maybe they're fighting. Yeah, I think they're fighting. Fair enough. They're having a joust. Okay. Anyway, what else is there to talk about? Maybe you guys can just tell me what you've been doing, because, like, I've talked about myself a lot now. But, yeah, what have you guys been up to recently? Are you guys... How are you guys finding the lockdown? Are you guys in a lockdown? Like, what's been going on? I think we're coming out of our lockdown on the... Or, like, it's getting lessened on the 29th of March. So, a few weeks. Which is still a long time, but... it'd be nice just to do something, won't it? Even if it's, like, something small. I can't wait until, like, Nando's and all that's open and... Weatherspoons and like shopping centres, we've just gone do things. Like, it seems like the little things that you can't do at the minute. And I'm not an outgoing person really. I like doing stuff, but I'm not like life and soul of the party sort of person. So I find them people quite annoying actually. But yeah, I don't know. I just, even doing something small would be nice, wouldn't it? Do you know what another thing is weird? You know, have you guys ever looked at the clouds and you've seen something in them? Because people always talk about this, don't they? Like, you look at, like, I'm looking at a cloud now, right? People go, oh yeah, there's a, I don't know, but Jesus is in the clouds. But I never get anything good that you can describe to other people. From what I'm looking at a cloud right now, right? If anything, I'd say it's a squirrel riding a horse. But that's not something that's any... That's just a load of tosh, isn't it? That's not anything good. I don't know. Like, people stuff like say really good things. Like, oh, I don't know. Gandhi. But I'm seeing a squirrel riding a horse. I don't know. It's just not as good, is it? I can't take a picture of that and put that on, like, Instagram, can I? And say, oh, look at this. This is beautiful. It must be a message. Clearly isn't. I don't know. All right, I'm going to stop waffling on. All right. Thanks a lot for watching, guys, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.